So we're just a little ways into a series on what's coming. And there are many things that are coming. We hope to cover the waterfront from the worries and cares of tomorrow that are coming to the coming of the kingdom of God at the end of the age. So we're just taking a different text each week, usually from a different book and a different author, but texts that just speak about the future, speak about things that are coming. Last week, Ecclesiastes reminds us that what's coming for life under the sun is more vanity. I hope all of you will memorize Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8. Everything that is to come will be vanity. I'm not going to, you're not going to, none of us is going to escape the vanity of earthly life. All of us are going to travel the circle. You started as dust, you're going to end up as dust. You're going to do the wearisome tasks that God has given people to be occupied with under the sun. You're going to grow old. And then you're going to depart, leaving all the earthly things behind and outside of your control. So Ecclesiastes encourages us, enjoy the temporary while you can. It's a gift and a reward of God to enjoy and delight in those temporary things that he himself has created and given. But also remember your Creator. You were not created, nor are you intended for only the temporal. And so we find out one of the paradoxes of life, that you enjoy your bread more when you are not trying to live by bread alone. Today what we want to do is think about the making of plans for the future. That deciding what you're going to be when you grow up. The places that you're going to go. Things that you're going to do. The life that you're going to live. Can you secure for yourself the kind of future that you determine as desirable? How does that work? How do you make plans for the future? And we're going to consider just a single passage from the book of James. I think this passage could be supported, could be expanded by many other scriptures. But for today, I just want you to consider five verses from the book of James. Let them soak in. Soak into your mind, soak into your heart. So they're out of James 4. Here they are. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's an interesting conclusion at the end there, isn't it? I'd like you to just be thinking about how do you get that conclusion out of what he said. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. This passage begins with somebody using future tense verbs. In Greek, the future tense is indicated by endings that are put on the verb sense. And here, right at the start, you get four future tense verbs in a row. If I had been translating it, I might have made it more obvious that the first four verbs are all future tense. James wants to address anyone who says, we will go. And we will spend a year. We will engage in some business. And we will make a profit. All future tense verbs. So the issue for today is when we speak of ourselves, whether we use the word I or we, first person singular or first person plural, when we speak of ourselves, how do you do the future tense? How should the human person say the word I or say the word we, and then use the word will. That's the issue for today. This passage begins with future tense verbs, all first person plural, so the word we. They are words that make claims about ourselves for tomorrow, for the future. They are words that make claims for the future, make claims about where we are going to go. They make claims about how we're going to spend our time. They make claims about what we will do to further ourselves. They make claims about what will be the outcome of the decisions and actions that we take. I want you to know that whatever the problem here, the problem is not that something's being planned or intended for the future that's intrinsically evil or sinful. The problem is not that the future plans are to rape and pillage and plunder. That's not the problem here. The feel and the tone here in these future tense verbs is just of somebody taking responsibility for their life, of setting goals for their course, of managing their time well by identifying a clear purpose and a direction for their life. I mean, what's articulated here is basically the standard wisdom about how to become the person you want to be and have the kind of life you want to have. That's what's articulated here about this is how you use the word will after the word I or we. If you want to be a certain kind of person, you want to have a certain kind of life, this is what you should do. It's the standard wisdom. But James does not like how these people are using these future tense verbs. He's not comfortable with how these we wills are being put forward. He's not comfortable with how these we wills are being said. James takes issue with how these we wills are being said by saying two things. He says, you should not talk like that. You should not talk that way with those we wills, those first person plural future tense verbs. You should not talk like that because you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And you should not talk like that because you're just a vapor. So those are the two things that James introduces that he says, I don't like how you're using future tense verbs because you don't know. You don't know. And because you're just a vapor. When we talk about what's coming, when we use future tense verbs after first person subjects, first person singular is I. So I will such and such. Or for perhaps first person plural, we. We will such and such. When we talk about what's coming for ourselves by using plural verbs, here are two things that should loom really large on our radar screen. Two things when you're about ready to use future tense verbs. Two things that should be large on your radar screen you don't know. And the fact that you're just a vapor. When you think about what's coming, when I think about what's coming, James wants me to remember my ignorance and my brevity. Roger, before you say I will, remember your ignorance and your brevity. That if I don't take note of my ignorance, the things I don't know, and my brevity, that I'm just a vapor, James says I will end up boasting in my arrogance. And he reminds me that all such boasting is evil. James uses the same word when he talks about boasting and arrogance that John uses when he talks about all that is in the world. John says that's all that's in the world are three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That last one, it's the same word that James used here, that boastful pride, that arrogance of boasting, the boasting in arrogance. How we talk about the future, how we use first person future tense verbs is a good way to reveal if there's any boastful pride of life in any of us. I can listen to how you use future tense verbs in the first person, and you can listen to me. And if there's any boastful pride of life there, any arrogance of boasting, it'll show up in how we use future tense verbs. And that's a pride, that's a boasting, that's evil before the Lord. James thinks that because of our ignorance, because of our brevity, when we use future tense verbs, when we say, I will, when we say, we will, James thinks because of our ignorance and brevity, we need to subordinate. We need to qualify our future tenses to the will of God. He says, when you say something about the future, you need to say something about the Lord. When you speak of your future plans, you need to say something about the Lord. You should say, if the Lord wills. So that's a quick overview of what James says in these five verses. So now I want to just back up again and consider the pieces of the puzzle a little bit further. The issue is making plans for our own future. That's the issue. When we do that, when we make plans for our own future, the plans for the future should not make it sound like we determine the future. Whatever plans we make should not make it sound like we determine the future. Whenever you use the future tense, you should not make it sound like the future is under your control. You should not talk, you should not act like the future belongs to you, like the future is in your hands. If you want a great reminder, if you want a powerful reminder that your life is not in your hands, you would like a powerful, great reminder that your life is not in your hands, I'll give you one. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is a reminder to us all that your life is not in your hands. Tomorrow is only 24 hours away, and you don't know what it holds. Very close, and you do not know. I do not know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow is only 24 hours away, and you can't determine what it will be. Tomorrow is only 24 hours away. You might not even be here for it. I'm impressed. I don't know if you are. I'm impressed. I'm blessed by how smart and how talented you are. What the people in this room are capable of is amazing. It's wonderful. It's astonishing to me. Most likely, I am wowed by you. If you want to know how I'm wowed by you, buy me lunch and I'll tell you. But I'm impressed and blessed by just how smart, how talented, how capable you are. But none of us, not a single one of us, knows what tomorrow holds. None of us knows what our life will be like in 24 hours. Not the strongest person here. Strongest person here doesn't know. Not the richest person here doesn't know. The most organized person here doesn't know. The wisest person here does not know what tomorrow holds. I have 6 tomorrows before the wedding. I don't know what any of them hold. None of them are in my control. None of the six tomorrows before the wedding are ruled by Roger's will. Tomorrow is a reminder to us all about how limited and how weak we really are. The Lord, He determined the end before the beginning. Great verse in the scripture. He determined the end from the beginning. You and I can't determine Monday morning on Sunday afternoon. Monday morning is not in our hands. We don't know what Monday morning holds. We may not even be around for it. We're just vapors. We're like the dew on the grass. You know, sometimes we highlight how quickly something can pass by saying, you know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. But being a vapor, being like dew, I mean, that's even shorter. Dew is here today, gone today. You're like the marine layer. You often don't make it past mid-morning. We're just vapors. When you use future tense verbs, speaking of your plans, when we do it together and speak of our plans for our future, we need to remember these two things. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And we need to remember we only just got here and we will soon be leaving. Remembering those things about ourselves, of course, provides a great contrast between us and God. We do not know, but He knows. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but He knows what tomorrow holds. We are just vapors, but He is eternal. He's the everlasting God. He was there before the beginning. He's there now. He always will be there. He's not a passing vapor. Who He is and what He knows makes certain that the future will be according to His will. Because He's always there and He knows. The future will be according to His will. Not according to my will, not according to your will, not according to our will. The future will be according to His will. So when we talk about the future, we should not say, the future will be such and such if I will. Should not say that. Should not say, the future will be such and such if we will it so. Rather, we should say, the future will be such and such if the Lord wills it so. If the Lord wills, then the future will be such and such. I actually think this is an especially relevant and important thing for us in our own time. Because we live in a time when we're encouraged to impose your own self. You're encouraged to impose your will. You're encouraged to say, I will. And you're told that reality can be what you will it to be. You're told that if you will it, then it will be so. James says, when we do that, thinking that by our own willing, we determine something. James says, when you do that, that's arrogant boasting. You cannot determine the future by your will. You don't know. You don't know. The future cannot be put in place by you or by me. You're just a vapor. I did a calculation. Greg will probably have to check on it. Kind of like, if the Earth is 13 billion years old and you live 80 years, you will be around about 6/10 millionths of 1% of the time. 6/10 millionths of 1%. I mean, that's not a lot of time to have a significant impact, is it?
Once we know that we don't know what tomorrow holds, and once we know that we are vapors that pass quickly, once we know that, James says it's vital that we live accordingly. That's the force of that final verse. When we're honest about tomorrow, it puts both us and it puts the Lord in proper perspective. When we're honest about tomorrow, we realize it's not in my hands. And I don't know. I can't guarantee anybody's future, not my own, not yours. Can't determine it, I can't guarantee it. But God can. He wills it. He can determine my future, your future, our future. He can. So being honest about tomorrow puts God in proper perspective about what he's capable of, about what he knows, and it puts me and you in proper perspective about what we don't know and what we're not capable of. Once you know that, James says, you must live according to that. Once you know that, you must live your life with an understanding, with a humility, with a trust and dependence upon God. You must live your life knowing that your times are in his hands, not in your own. You must live knowing that you are in the hand of God, that you're going to be on the receiving end of his grace, of his help, of his mercy, of his love, of his power. You must live knowing that your tomorrow will not be determined by you saying, I will. Rather, you must live knowing that your tomorrow will be determined by the words, if the Lord wills. I will do such and such. We will do such and such. That, by the way, is why we are people who hope in God and are not people who hope in ourselves. Because we know that's what's coming depends not on ourselves, not on our future tense verbs, but that what's coming depends on him, depends on what the Lord wills. That's why we hope in him, because what's coming for us depends on his power, in his grace, his love. So we are a people who hope, concerning our future in him, not in ourselves. So it's a marvelous little five verses from James. Again, many other scriptures would support and enhance, but just let these soak into you. Using a bunch of future tense verbs after first person subjects. I's and we's, then the word will. James says, careful. Doesn't say don't do it, but make sure you subordinate your claim about what the future holds to the one who holds the future, who does know, you know, who isn't just a passing vapor. So learn to say, not I will, not we will, but if the Lord wills, then our lives will go a certain way, as it's determined by him. Calls for humility, calls for understanding, calls for trust and dependence. What happens in my tomorrow is not dependent on myself, but on God, who has mercy. So I hope that stirs your thought. And I hope those words, I hope I said it well enough to, you know, one of the things when you think about the future, I don't know. I hope that sinks in. I hope you know that you don't know, okay? Let your ignorance be on your radar screen. It's only 24 hours away and you don't know. I don't know. And let it sink in. You're just a vapor. Here today, gone today.
You can't determine, you can't guarantee.
You're not great enough, the future, for yourself or for anybody else. So depend on Him.
Depend on if He wills it or not. That determines the future.
Let those things just soak in, become part of your perspective. It keeps us from the boastful pride of life, which the Lord sees as evil. Let's close in prayer.
Father, we know that it's easy for us to generate plans for ourselves, plans for our own future, plans for things that would be desirable or wanted, advantageous, beneficial to ourselves. And Father, whenever we speak of the things that are coming in our own lives, in our own situations, Father, we would remember that we in fact don't know what tomorrow holds, and that we are indeed vapors here for such a short, brief time. But Father, we know that what's true of us is not true of You. That You know, Father, that You are the everlasting God. And so we hope in You. When we speak of what's coming, Father, we speak not of our will, but of Yours. Father, help us to live accordingly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.